Acharya Sajara Sadhu Sri Shimad, His Divine Grace Hila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki, His Confounder Acharya, His Divine Grace Hila Prabhupada Ki, Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parigrahaka Acharya Sajara Sadhu Sri Shimad, His Divine Grace Hila Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada Ki, Gandhara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Gaura Premanandi, All Glories to the Assembled Devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayamudhirayet nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Written from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 14, entitled Brahma's Prayers to Lord Krishna, text number 9. Vaśeṣame naryam ananta adye Paratmani twayi api mayi mayini Mayan vitakṣe śitum atma bhaivam Yaham kiyan aichan ivarchir agno Vaśeṣame naryam anantam adye Paratmani tai api mai maini. Mayan vitakshe shittum atma bhaivam. Kyaham kiyan aicham ivarchiragno. Pache shame naryam anantanadye. Paratmani tvai api mai maini. Maya vitekshe shittum atma bhaivam. Kyaham kayam aicham ivarchiragno. Sheshame naryam anantanadye. Paratmani tvai api mai maini. Mayam vitakshe tum atma bhai bhavam. Kyaham kiyam aicham ivarchiragno. Pache shame naryam anantamadye. Paratmani tvai api mai maini. Mayam vitakshe tum atma bhai bhavam. Kyaham kiyam aicham ivarchiragno. Chetunul Atma Bhai Bhavam. Kyakam Kiyam Aicham Ivarchiragno. Students. Pasheshame Naryam Anantam Adye. Paratmani tvaya api mai maini. Mayam vitakshe shittum atma bhai bhavam. Kyaham kiyam aicham ivarchiragno. Pasha, just see. Isha, O Lord, me. My anaryam, contemptible behavior, anante, against the unlimited, adye, the primeval, para atmani, the super soul, twai, you, api, even, mayi mayini, for the master's evolution. Mayam, my illusory potency. Itatya, spreading. Ikshitum, to see. Atma, your. Vaibhavam, power. He, indeed. Aham, I. Kiyan, how much. Aicham, I desired. Eva, just like. Archi, a small spark. Agno, in comparison to the whole fire. Translation, my Lord, just see my uncivilized impudence. To test your power, I try to extend my illusory potency to cover you, the unlimited and primeval supersoul, to bewilder even the masters of illusion. What am I in compared to you? I'm just like a small spark in the presence of a great fire. Purport. A great fire produces many sparks, which are insignificant in comparison to it. Indeed, if one of the small sparks were to try to burn the original fire, the attempt would be simply ludicrous. Similarly, even the creator of the entire universe, Lord Brahma, is an insignificant spark of the potency of God. And therefore, Brahma's attempt to bewilder the Supreme Lord was certainly ludicrous. Brahma here addresses Lord Krishna as Isha, which indicates that Krishna is not only the Supreme Master of everyone, but it's also specifically the master of Brahma, who creates the universe directly under the guidance of the Lord, and who indeed is born directly from the Lord's own body. Brahma felt ashamed of his impudent attempt at deluding Lord Krishna, and he was therefore perfectly willing to be punished or forgiven by the Lord according to his decision. If Lord Krishna does not mercifully punish his devotees, even when they act improperly, their foolishness will simply increase and gradually completely overwhelm their devotional sentiments. Therefore, Lord Krishna kindly disciplines his devotees and maintains them on the progressive path back home, back to Godhead. Omagyanati mirandasya gyanandana shalakaya shakshuri militanjayana tasmai sri gurave namaha. Panchakalpaturvishchakrapasindhugayivachapaditanam pavanivyo vaishnavivyo namo namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Adaita Gadadhar Sivasari Gaura Bhaktarinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this is the continuation of Lord Brahma's very heartfelt prayers after he realized what he has done, trying to bewilder Lord Krishna. And what is important in this is the mood in which Lord Brahma is placing himself. We should bear in mind that Lord Brahma is the initiator of this sampradaya that we belong to, Brahma Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. And so we should learn from his behavior. Generally speaking, we have the tendency that to think that because we belong to the Krishna consciousness movement, that we are the best of the best. We have Krishna on our side, so we are the best of the best. And in our preaching, sometimes we reflect that. But in reality, even though Krishna is the best of the best, because he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we should develop this introspective self-examination of our own progressive spiritual path. Lord Brahma is doing exactly that right now in these prayers, in this pastime. And usually that's what it is done. Krishna's pastimes are there to teach us something. Krishna is not only engaged with his pure devotees. Lord Brahma is a pure devotee. Krishna is not only engaged with them in transcendental pastimes just for the enjoyment that is produced, both for Krishna and for the devotees engaged in those pastimes. But those pastimes are meant also to enrich our lives. They are not just there to amuse us, but rather to see what we can learn from them. In this case, Lord Brahma, we know, he is number one in the universe. There is always a hierarchy of living beings. We cannot avoid that. We see this hierarchy all over the creation. We see it in social life, in political life, economic life. We see it in family life. It's all over. You can't get rid of it. So similarly, even the material scientists, they can see that there is hierarchy of the universe, for example. They, even though they don't understand the personal side of things, even though impersonally they realize that, you know, the solar system is just a tiny little speck in a galaxy. In our galaxy, it's a tiny little speck in a cluster of galaxies. So it's always a hierarchy. Lord Brahma is the number one. He's the creator of this universe. Not only he's the creator, but he's also a guidance, as the first person who recognized Krishna's existence. We have this realization, Lord Brahma, in those beautiful prayers, Brahma Samhita, in which Lord Brahma actually recognizes the Supreme Personality of God. He's the first one. He's the first one who's able to perceive the Lord. And so therefore, he is number one. Now, in this particular pastime, Lord Brahma is playing the role of a bewildered living being. In the previous chapter, chapter 13, we saw how he attempted to confuse Krishna. He was so powerful that he was able to confuse the gopas, Krishna's friends. You know, he deluded them coming into a cave and he concealed them into the cave. And so he was that powerful. But he couldn't bewilder Krishna, because Krishna is the origin of Lord Brahma. In fact, I think he's the only living being entity in the universe that is actually born directly from the body of Lord Vishnu. I don't think there's any other one. So Lord Brahma has that very close connection to the Lord. And still, that tendency, okay, you know, I'm produced by the number one. I'm directly born from the number one, so I got to be number one. So maybe I can try to bewilder number one. So that tendency to supersede the Supreme Lord is what really what brings us to this material world. But of course, Krishna knows. It's really amazing if you meditate upon what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita about himself, and what Krishna says about the living entities. You come to the conclusion that Krishna is the person who knows you the best. Krishna knows you so well that you yourself don't know yourself so well. Because Krishna has been accompanying the living entity since time immemorial. So generally speaking, when you get to know another person, it's you spend time with that person, isn't it? Like if you have, like for example, the best case is spouses, husband and wife. They get to know each other because they spend a lot of time together. Or when you have a great friend, you get to know your friend quite well because you spend time with that friend. You get to know what he says or what she says, what he likes, dislikes, his ideas, his sports, predilections. So you get to know that person is by spending time together. So imagine Krishna has spent time with you since time immemorial. So Krishna knows you the best. So in the case of Lord Brahma, he forgot that. He forgot that Krishna was within his heart. And therefore he attempted to bewilder that cowherd boy. As we know, obviously in the last pastime, in the last chapter, he ended up being bewildered himself. Krishna is known as Yogeshwar. He is the controller of all mystic power. So anybody trying to play tricks on Krishna, those tricks are come back to us. So we cannot play tricks with Krishna. We cannot cheat Krishna. There's no way to, you can't. So the lesson to be learned is that not only we cannot delude Krishna, but if we attempted to do so, we should develop a repentant attitude, like Lord Brahma is doing right now. Lord Rama is recognizing his flaw, his impudence, like it says here. He became impudent, and so he recognized it, and he is ready to be either punished or forgiven. So similarly, we should understand that in our path of devotional service, we're going to have many shortcomings, because we are in this material world, and this material world is a world of shortcomings. Everybody has shortcomings. We all have, most of us. Pure devotees don't, but most of us, we do have shortcomings. And so in our dealings with other devotees, and even in dealing with non-devotees, we should understand that there is a reality that supersedes the so-called material reality. And that reality, that supreme reality, is the reality that Krishna is observing everything. Krishna is being the witness of everything. He declared himself in the Bhagavad Gita as the super soul. And even Lord Brahma here addresses him as the super soul, Paramatmani. Lord Brahma uses that statement, Paramatmani, the super soul. What he's saying, basically, by calling Krishna Paramatma, Lord Brahma is saying, gee, you know, I forgot that you were in my heart. I'm sorry, I forgot it. And therefore, I should have known that I could not cheat you. So, very interesting way, why would Lord Brahma call Krishna Paramatma like that? Usually, Krishna is Bhagavan. Srila Prabhupada explains that God can be understood in three levels, Bhagavan, Paramatma, and Brahman. Param-Brahman. And usually Krishna is not addressed as Paramatma. Krishna usually is addressed as Bhagavan, or as his different pastime names, like Yashoda Nandana, Nanda Nandana. But rarely a pure devotee addresses Krishna as Paramatma. So it's very significant that Lord Brahma is recognized that he recognized that actually Krishna was present within his heart, and he forgot it. So that attitude we should develop following the footsteps of Lord Brahma, that in our dealing with other devotees, in our dealing with other living entities, in our engagement in these devotional service activities that we are engaged in, we should bear that in mind, that whatever we say, whatever we do, is being witnessed by the Lord. And especially when we are dealing with other devotees. Because devotees are engaged in devotional service, and therefore their lives are special to Krishna. Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita. Everyone is engaged in all kinds of pursuits. Artha, dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Every conceivable living entity is pursuing those things. But very few are pursuing bhakti. Just a handful of living entities. And so, therefore, in that case, we are very special. Because even powerful demigods, many of the demigods, they are not interested in bhakti, even though they are devotees, in a way. There is a very technical term, Sanskrit term, sakama devotees. They have material desires. But those devotees who are giving up their material desires, those devotees who have it as their goal to become pure devotees of Krishna, those devotees are very special to Krishna. And Krishna recognizes them. And also Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, I become a player. I enlighten the devotees. I protect the devotees. I make sure the devotees are always triumphant. So the devotees become very special to Krishna. And so on the path of self-realization, in our own endeavor in Krishna consciousness, we should bear this in mind, that even though we are so special, everybody else is so special. All the devotees are special living entities, very dear to Krishna. So So Lord Brahma is teaching us here that we should be able to recognize our own shortcomings and in a very sincere way, with very heartfelt prayers, we should address Krishna. Krishna, I'm sorry. Or if you're dealing with another devotee, you know, Prabhu, Mataji, I'm sorry I did this. Because not only we should become repentant towards our offenses to Krishna, but also we should become repentant to our offenses to other living beings. Actually, if you think about it, the fact that we are engaged in with dealings with other living entities is it's a preparation for us to be engaged in the eternal leelas of Krishna. Because in the spiritual world, that's what you're going to be doing. You're going to be dealing with other living entities. So you're not going to be alone with Krishna. You're going to be dealing with so many liberated souls. And so if you look at it, this life that we are enduring right now, this life of devotional service, is really a preparation for us to know how we should deal with each other in the transcendental world. Otherwise, if we don't learn here, we can't get there. So if we look at it that way, I mean, that's what Lord Brahma is doing here. Lord Brahma realized, wow, you know, I messed up. I bewildered these pure devotees. I put them in a cave. Krishna was having his pastime. I interrupted it. And then after that, I had the impudence of trying to bewilder Krishna. And here I am, all bewildered myself. So, of course, this is a pastime of Krishna also to exhibit his own potency, his mystic power potency. And in fact, he's known as Yogeshwar because of this particular pastime of him expanding himself onto the other cowherd boys, exact replicas of the cowherd boys, exact replicas of the calves. So that's mystic power, big time. Because in this material world, some yogis can become successful in some mystic power activities, but they can't do it to the degree, to the superlative degree that Krishna can do it. Some yogis can multiply themselves, but they can't act independently. It's like in the battle of Kurukshetra. There were some of the Maharathis, some of the warriors, they could expand themselves, like Arjun. Like a lot of the times Arjun would expand himself during the heat of the battle, and people thought that Arjun was in so many places. It's a way of bewildering the soldiers. It's mystic power. But there's only one, the real Arjun was able to do the fighting. The other one is just to bewilder. In the case of Krishna, Krishna can expand himself and act independently each expansion. Not only can he do that, but he also can replicate himself into other living entities that don't appear to be Krishna, like in the gopas or in the calves. And so that's what bewildered Lord Brahma. So if Krishna has such a power, you know, who are we, basically? Like in the Purport is saying here. What is it? You know, who am I? No, it's in the actual translation. What am I compared to you? What am I compared to you? Now Lord Brahma is not a small-timer either. Imagine having the technology and the intelligence to actually create a universe. That's big. You know that nowadays, just to create these probes that they send to other planets here in the solar system, you know how many man hours that takes? And we are talking PhD man hours, not warehouse man hours. PhD man hours, it takes like about 200 scientists, top-notch scientists, just to get a tiny little ball going to a tiny little place. All working together 24/7. And they had to work 24/7 because time zones change, you know. When you send a probe to another planet, they enter into a different time altogether. And in order to be able to see what the probes are doing in those planets, they had to have, at all times, they had to have somebody awake, a group of scientists awake to observe what's going on. And they had to spend millions of dollars. So imagine creating a universe. That's a lot of power. And so Brahma, Lord Brahma, became very, in a way, very puffed up. You know, oh, I'm number one. And because I'm number one, I can probably do this, do that. People who get, generally speaking, when we get extraordinary power, we want to exercise it on the weaklings, isn't it? Those who have power usually wants to exercise the power on those who are not as powerful. Such a Lord Brahma thought here. Oh, you know, I have this great power. I can probably exercise it on this cover boy. That also tells us, this pastime also tells us, that we can be the number one erudite scholar in the world or in the universe, but we still cannot understand Krishna. With all this knowledge of material things, we can be the perfect engineers, the perfect philosophers, perfect theologians, but we cannot understand Krishna unless Krishna reveals himself. So we are engaged in a very highly specialized human activity, which is devotional service. And therefore, we should not expect to know Krishna fully. Or like sometimes we complain, you know, I've been engaged in devotional service so long, and I don't see Krishna. What is Krishna doing for me? Or, you know, we want something out of this. But pure devotional service means you get to the point where you don't want nothing for yourself. You want everything for Krishna. And that's what really attracts Krishna. Is that feeling, that heartfelt feeling that now I'm not number one. Now I am Krishna's servant. But being Krishna's servant is a great deal. It's a big deal. Because to be the servant of Krishna is actually to partake of the nature of Krishna. Krishna says that in Bhagavad Gita. What is that verse? This is a verse in the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. And when Krishna says that when we are permitted, when we are allowed to enter into the kingdom of God, bhaktyamam avijñānati javanjasyasmi tatotaha. Once you get to know me truly, Krishna says, through devotional service, through pure devotional service, tato mam tadato ñātva, one who gets to know me like that, diśyate tāvanantaram, he is allowed to enter into the kingdom of God. So we have to acquire that nature of Krishna. Well, like in this case, the allegory of the great fire and the sparks. Prabhupada used to say, if the spark is connected to the fire, it doesn't perish. But if the sparks, even though it has the potency of fire, and it goes out of the fire and falls onto the grass or into the land, it's gone, it's finished. So similarly, we regain our nature as servants of Krishna by remaining in Krishna consciousness. And so we should understand that it's not easy, number one. I mean, even Lord Brahma has his hard times trying to understand Krishna, trying to serve Krishna. But the idea in understanding Krishna is in the service attitude that we have. We cannot understand Krishna so much through intellectual exercise, but really we get to know Krishna through service. And then the intelligence comes. In the beginning, for example, we just hear him, Prabhupada likes to distribute his books. And we can think, well, this is like an intellectual thing. You know, people get Prabhupada's book and then they read it, they like it, they become devotees. But actually what it is that they, when you get a book of Prabhupada for the first time, what it is that you get, how you call that? Because you can't understand Krishna by reading one sentence or one word. But it's just a start. So it gets you curious, it gets you going. You say, well, what is this? Who is Krishna? And why is Prabhupada saying this? You know, what, I'm not the material body. So this becomes intellectually stimulating. But from that intellectual stimulation to actually understanding Krishna, there's a gulf of difference. And in the end, what it is that we should recognize our limitations, recognize that we are servants of Krishna, recognize that we are not number one, and recognize that devotees, people who are engaged in devotional service, are very special, and go from there. We should be able to be repentant when we make mistakes and be able to apologize, like Lord Brahma is doing. So these are things, they are engaged in this pastime to teach us what are we supposed to do. Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, he basically does a lot of intellectual preaching. That's what Krishna is doing in Bhagavad Gita. And he is revealing himself, revealing who the living entities are. Revealing who the living entities are, what is this material world. But in the Bhagavatam, all this intellectual and philosophical and theological knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita, in the Bhagavatam, it is lived. Devotees engage in pastimes with Krishna, they live it. And so that's why the things are happening here. I'm going to stop here. Any questions? Comments? Yes, Prabhu. There's a microphone somewhere? Yes.
As Srila Prabhupada was hitting these scientists, all these rascals, these mudas, you know, you're saying, they're saying that they're going to Mars and the moon and this place and that place, and they can't.
They really don't go, they send little machines.
Yeah, you know, but he was hitting them so heavy, you know, wasting all his time. So you were saying PhD time, you know. But he said these guys are wasting so much time.
Yeah.
Simply bringing back some.
Yeah, but among us, there's a difference between man hours from a warehouse and man hours from a university. All PhD people, the quality is different from the standpoint here. But the point is that to understand the importance of Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma is just one guy, one person. Four heads, of course, but one person with such a great degree of intelligence that by himself he can design a whole universe. Not only he designs the universe, he engineers everything, the type of bodies we have, the different species of living entities that there are, the different planets that there are, the different galaxies, the gravity, everything is designed by Lord Brahma. So he's a big time scientist. You can't compare to Lord Brahma. So if we on Earth require just to send a tiny little piece of metal going orbiting around Mars, we require, you know, 500 PhDs working 24/7 for 2-3 years just to get a tiny little piece of metal going around taking pictures. Imagine what Lord Brahma is. So the idea is that Lord Brahma, he realizes power, and then he said, well, I'm really powerful. Let me exercise my power over these kids. Let me bewilder them. And who is this Krishna? Let me bewilder him. So that was the idea of putting that example. Yes, Prabhu Mukunda?
Yeah, there. One thing is that according to most of the commentaries, actually, Brahma never kidnapped the original cowherd boys. There were three sets. One Maya set of cowherd boys, which Brahma took to the cave.
Yeah.
The original cowherd boys in another prakosh stayed at the picnic spot, and then Krishna also manifested another set from himself.
Yeah, the point is, that may be true, okay? But the point is that here we are reading a specific pastime for a specific reason. And that is for us to understand Krishna's dealings and the devotee's dealings with Krishna. That may have been another reality, is if the Acharya said it, is true. But that's not what's being discussed in the Bhagavatam. What's being discussed in the Bhagavatam is how you can learn from this. How you can enrich your life based on the dealings that Lord Brahma is doing with Krishna. That's the whole deal. It's like I said, the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains every intellectual and philosophical statement you could ever possibly get known in the universe. But it's highly intellectual, highly philosophical. In the Bhagavatam, that knowledge is lived out. You experience that knowledge. That's why there are leelas. And that's precisely here, Lord Brahma, number one man in the universe, is recognizing Krishna as really the number one. That's what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, I am number one. But he just says it. And if you read the Bhagavad Gita, you just got to take it. But here, there is a whole drama about it. There's a whole pastime about it. So for us to learn. Now, Krishna, of course, Krishna has so many levels of reality that we are not aware of. In fact, it is said that this Bhagavatam that we have is tailored to us, is kind of calibrated to our brain power here on earth. There are other Bhagavatam, versions of the Bhagavatam, that are not for us. So we don't deny that. So we got to stick to what's for us. And here in this pastime, the idea is that we should develop repentance, as Lord Brahma is doing. You know, that sometimes devotees as Lord Brahma, powerful men like Lord Brahma, pure devotees, Lord Brahma is a pure devotee. You know, he made a mistake of thinking himself higher than Krishna. That's really the most, it is properly explained, that there are so many ways of Maya bewildering us. But the most difficult thing to overcome is like the impersonalists. They get snared by the idea that, oh, I'm like God. I'm just like the number one. And as soon as they think like that, they're going to start thinking, well, I'm higher than God. If I'm number one, well, I should be number one with the number one. I can probably be higher. So this is the last snare of Maya, to think that, oh, I can be like God. The bhaktas, the devotees of Krishna, we know that we are like Krishna, but in the service attitude, not in the powerful abilities of Krishna. We cannot compete with that. We retain the same nature of Krishna, Sakshidananda, but the power and the energies of Krishna are Krishna's. In fact, we are one of the energies of Krishna. So, but the Mayavadis, the impersonalists, they fall into that trap. And so Lord Brahma is teaching us here, no, we are not number one. It's Krishna is the number one. And Krishna is not number one just so that he can lord it over you. Krishna has no interest. Krishna is number one because he's just number one. And If we recognize that, everything is fine. As long as we don't recognize that, everything is topsy-turvy. This whole material world has hierarchies because of that. Everybody's trying to be number one. Everybody, you know, people want to be President of the United States. People want to be President of Prime Minister of England. Or people want to be Indra. People want to be Lord Brahma. Everybody's trying to be number one. But when they serve the number one, Krishna, everything is great. That's the idea of the pastime. So, any other question? Martha, just, is the microphone working?
So there's other entities living on.
Yeah, you go ahead.
On other planets within our universe. So I'm just curious, when scientists send these probes, yes. I mean, there must be some kind of like veil there because they don't see these living entities or what's going on other planets.
Yes, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna confirms that the whole universe is populated with living beings, not just a handful of planets. Every living space in the universe is populated with living entities. Nitya sarva gatastanur. Krishna says that the soul is present everywhere. Nitya sarva gatastanur. Achaloyam sanatana. The soul is immovable, eternal, eternally the same, and it's everywhere. And Prabhupada uses that statement from the Bhagavad Gita, declared by Krishna, to assert that the whole universe is populated. Now, obviously, we can't see these things. So scientists, they send their probes and then cameras and everything. But they expect to see another woman there, or another man, or another dog. But even here, like here, with the senses that you have, there are so many living entities you cannot perceive even on Earth. And even if you have to have certain type of tools to figure out that they are there. So you have to refine your sense perception. This is just to figure out what's going on here, on this planet. Other planets have all other different kinds of perception. Krishna again says in the Bhagavad Gita that the body that you have has a certain set of senses limited to a certain type of sense perception. And you can't see beyond that, you can't hear beyond that. There are some animals on this planet that can see what you cannot see, or other animals that can hear what you cannot hear. So all different bodies have different limitations. And this is why scientists, they always create tools, you know, instruments to sense what's going on out there, but you can't.
So I mean, it's just like a total waste of time and money.
Yes, it is.
Because they haven't really found anything.
Right. No, they don't. They can't find anything with what they have. But yes, there is living entities all over the world, all over the planet, all over the universe. This, what happened with science is that science was born out of the Judeo-Christian traditions, and the Judeo-Christian traditions, the religious understanding is that there is only life on Earth. And so they start from there. Okay, science and religion started together. Okay, but that religion was based on Judeo-Christian traditions. But that Judeo-Christian tradition said that only on planet there is life, nowhere else. And so now they start with that, and they keep going with that understanding, and they think that we're the only ones. Because through the eyes, you think that we are the only ones. We don't see anybody on the moon. I mean, we have powerful, even with certain binoculars, you can actually see the moon quite well. You don't see much with these eyes. But yeah, Prabhupada said the whole universe is populated. Now, we don't bother. A lot of these pastimes on the Bhagavatam, they are done in other planets. They're being conducted in other planets. So, but that's not the big deal. The big deal is how you get out of here. Yogis can go to other planets. Yogis can do a certain type of austerity, that, and they want to go to the moon, they want to live in the moon, they do certain austerity. They have to give up the body on earth to be able to get another body on the moon and then be able to perceive what's going on the moon. That's what it is. Any other questions? Thank you very much. Oh, you got one. Oh, sorry. Alan here. First time I hear you asking a question.
It's just a comment that they say that even on the sun, there's living entities, obviously, for the scientists, you know, they cannot even imagine that because they need, like, fire bodies.
Mm-hmm.
They would actually say that, you know, like, because there's no oxygen or because
right.
there's no this or that, it's absolutely impossible that there's life there, but it's, you know, they're
right.
totally wrong.
Yeah, if you go approach the sun planet with this body, you got burned.
Yeah, of course.
But you can have a body suitable for the sun, yeah, absolutely. There's the sun god over there. See, what happened is we have the tendency to think that everything lacks personality, but the sun planet has a personality, the moon planet, the earth itself has a personality. Everything is animated by a soul. Nothing is self-animated. So the sun has a Surya, the moon has Chandra, like that. So Bhumi, we are here on Bhumi. This planet Earth is Bhumi, Mother Bhumi. Everything has a personality. Even actually in the second canto of the Bhagavatam, it is explained that the whole universe is actually the body of Lord Vishnu. It basically is a personality. The universe is not just rocks hitting each other or, you know, comets flying around or, you know, things floating around. No, it's actually alive. And where there is life, there is a soul, either the super soul or the individual soul. You can't.
And even sometimes right now they're discovering that even down, you know, in the ocean and everything, they find new, you know, species of life and everything.
Right.
And they're so surprised that,
right.
you know, they can live there, but they're going to keep on finding so many other things.
Thank you. I'll go to Srila Prabhupada.